I'm Mark Seaman, the research coordinator with the Michigan Soybean Promotion Committee.
A lot of research and talks happening at Commodity Classic this week, talking more on production as well as policy. Mark, representing Michigan here, what are some of the ways that you might be learning this week?
Hey, one really interesting thing, Nicole, is the change of soybean genetics for this coming year. Roundup Ready to Extend has been approved and will be, those soybeans have been sold in Michigan as well as some other states. So it's interesting to hear from research people in other states with soybean programs as well as growers, what kind of concerns they have and how those might affect them and their operations. So there's a lot of excitement with being able to control some herbicide-resistant weeds that we haven't had in the past. So that's the positive side. The potential negative side is the potential off-target application. So we may have some sprayer drift or volatilization from dicamba-type products. So those are the concerns. And in Michigan, of course, we're concerned more than some other states because we have a diversity of crops. And those crops, in some cases, are really sensitive to growth regulator type herbicides like dicamba.
If there was a pesticide drift or improper application, how does that impact the surrounding area?
Yeah, that's a great question, and certainly one that we think of more in Michigan. What kind of crop damage will we see? And so there's some of our fruit and vegetable crops that are very sensitive to dicamba drift. And so in some cases, that may mean that those crops or the fruit or vegetables from those crops aren't marketable. Or we have some other crops like sugar beets or dry beans that are pretty sensitive also. And will those crops make it into that mainstream line of that food along with the other crops that haven't been damaged? So there's a lot of questions that we don't know yet, but certainly a lot of concern about where those chemicals are going and how they'll affect the neighbors.
As far as adaptability, talking with Michigan growers, is this a technology you think they're excited about or more on the wary side?
Yeah, I think there's examples of both. So for the growers that have herbicide-resistant weeds that have been battling those with very few opportunities to control them, they're excited about it and looking forward to it. On the other side, if there's growers that don't have those problems yet, but maybe around other crops that are more susceptible to injury, there's probably more worry there. So I think there's examples of both, and we'll likely see those things play out through the year.
It all comes down to label directions. How important is that?
Yeah, those are critical this year, and critical to know what those regulations are and the label information, because there are some things on those labels that can change. So those labels have been approved and adapted already, but there's some potential that those might change through the season as more information is brought out and we learn how exactly to handle those. So one of the concerns is who is liable for any off-target movement, and at this time the label says that the applicator is the one who's responsible for any kind of problems related to that. So certainly applicators will be watching closely and being careful to avoid those issues where they can.
Looking more at soybean opportunities, what are some of the other items discussed this week?
Hey, another interesting thing was the opportunity to increase protein content or the quality of soybeans. So as we think downstream to what happens to soybeans after they get dumped at the elevator, they're mostly crushed and used for oil, and then the meal is then used for mostly livestock feed. So swine and poultry operators are really trying to think about how can they best fit their operations. In some cases, that means paying close attention to specific amino acids and looking at things like protein content. So as soybean growers, I think it's wise for us to look at what our product's going to be used for in the end, and then trying to think about how can we grow a product that's better for our end user to make sure that they really appreciate the value and get the most out of it themselves.
Is there any work being done to formulate higher protein beans or even pay a premium for them?
Yeah, I think there's some niche opportunities looking at those. But in general, most growers and most seed companies now are looking at high yielding varieties because that's what farmers get paid for, our number of bushels. So the challenge is how do we make sure that we increase the value or at least hold steady with the quality characteristics so that we don't lose markets either domestically or internationally, because there are some other countries that are pretty big competitors to us that have a little bit of a bump on us on some quality factors.
As far as other issues paying attention to, as 2017 is kicking off and a pretty warm-up start to the growing season, what are farmers in Michigan really paying attention to?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know that anybody has seen a winter like this, so I'm not sure we know exactly what to expect. But one of the things that some growers are talking about is a switch of acres from corn acres normally to soybean acres. So there's a lot of talk about how do we manage those acres differently, because in some cases that then means that we're going to have soybean fields this year that were soybean fields last year. So how does that impact, how do we choose varieties that might be best for us? How do we think about things like soybean cyst nematodes that might increase in population if we give them a host in 2 years in a row? So just some careful planning that needs to go on to make sure that we're not going to have a negative impact long term for the short term benefit of having hopefully a crop that's the highest net return that we can get.
And Mark, any last words to wrap us up with?
I think one word you used, Nicole, was optimism. I think I see a lot of that here in Texas. There's a lot of growers here that really look forward to the coming year, and hopefully things will improve with commodity prices. But in general, we came off a year that was really good, so it's easy to stay pretty upbeat about the production we had last year. And if we can stay consistent with that, I think we'll call it a success.